Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue, Labatt Blue Light, and the latest offering from Labatt Blue, Labatt Blue Citra, with a bright hop aroma and crisp, clean finish. Bleed blue and white, drink blue light and Citra.
Pretty close.
I've got Kevin. Kevin from Labatt. Everybody knows Kevin Wilson. Welcome in, Kevin.
Thanks.
Did I get that right? The information on the Citra.
Yeah.
Or close.
The Citra.
BLC.
The Citra, right? Yeah. This is our brand new offering. It's in stores now. It's that familiar name you know in Labatt, but a lot of the flavors that people are looking for now, the big hop aroma, the big hop taste, but without really the bite, the bitterness that people kind of expect from an IPA. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, but a little bit familiar, here you go. Same price, Labatt, can't go wrong.
Wonderful. I'm Jim Galante, hosting this week in place of Andy Shea, across the way with an open blue Citra.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up. It's a double thumbs up.
There we go. I trust Bob's expertise. And you can too. All right. We've got an hour of Penn State football coming up in quarter number one with Bob and Kevin. We're going to talk news and notes. Quarter number two, it's Tucker's Tape. We're going to take a look at a couple of the 2020 linebacker commits and that 2020 quarterback commit from Las Vegas. And Q2 is brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the ultimate RV experience. Quarter number three, we're going to ask Ross. And finally, in quarter number four, we're going to recap all the action from the combine. So we didn't do a show. I got to make a program note here. We did not do our show earlier in the week with Greg and Dustin. For those of you who've been emailing to me, I am sorry, but they will be back next week. It was my fault. And perhaps more information than people need, I travel into the studio. And if you recall, earlier in the week, we had some weather again, and the timing was about as bad as it can get for me to get here. So we canceled earlier in the week, but don't worry. Do not worry. Greg and Dustin will be back. So let's get started with the news. And candidly, not a big Penn State football news week per se. A lot of the news came out of the combine. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into detail on it in quarter number four. But, Bob, let's start with that. Any surprises? It seemed like, again, a pretty good showing for Penn State.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good showing. And once again, Penn State, they had seven kids. Good or bad, they had some really good storylines between involving Trace. I thought Miles Sanders was just outstanding. Really, really separated himself, I think, from a lot of good running backs. Even Sharif Miller, I thought, did some good things. The offensive lineman didn't do a lot. Amani ran great for somebody as big as he is. So, I mean, it always kind of circles back to what Penn State and James and Dwight Gault are doing with the strength and conditioning. It's clearly working. And I just think that this is going to be close to the norm. You're going to see a half dozen, anywhere from a half dozen to double-digit Penn State guys at the combine every year. A lot of them are going to be juniors, and they're going to come out early because, you know, you're not going to see very many 50-year seniors at Penn State anymore just because he's recruiting so well. But I think that every year we're going to be talking about one or two Penn State guys that had a great combine and really stood out from the pack in their position group.
And I know stars are not the perfect predictor, but they're a good gauge, and there are more and more 4- and 5-star guys coming into the program. So I think you're exactly right, and we're going to see this 3 years and done. Hey, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, I'm curious. You and I, we're the fans here. We're not sure. The professionals. But how much, as a Penn State fan, do you care about the combine and the Penn State players as they move on?
The underwear Olympics, I guess they're often called. Personally, I don't look at him too much. I think I'm forever scarred by Mike Mamula from my childhood.
Yeah.
That's an Eagles fan for you, for those who don't remember.
Just, hey, I want all our guys to do well because I do think it has some positive, like the success of Saquon Barkley has a residual effect on the program. But is it something I watch? No, other than, you know, some funny videos here and there.
Mike McMulla had a little shiver as
Boston College, I think number 7 overall to the Eagles, and Ray Rhodes.
Yes, he is the poster boy for the
was never going to live up to that pick, superstar. But he wasn't that bad of a player. He just wasn't the number 7 pick in the
invented
draft.
The QB hurry statistic.
All right. Well, I think Amanio and Miles Sanders were the stars. But if I remember last week on our show, our pre-combine show, we asked you, who are you going to be watching, Bob? Refresh my memory, and how did they do?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned Sharif Miller, and I was intrigued by Kevin Givens as well. I think for Penn State fans, I just wonder if maybe I think they want to see the guys that maybe aren't expected to do well or need to do well at the combine to kind of get some attention. I wonder if maybe Penn State fans are more inclined to maybe watch them at the combine, knowing that they have kind of a lot more at stake. I don't know that Amani had a lot at stake. A lot of people had picked him to be probably a second round pick, and I think he entered the combine in that category, and I think he left it. He cemented it. But I think, you know, I thought Sharif Miller ran pretty well. He's sub 4.7 40. I think his best football is ahead of him. I don't think he's completely filled out yet. And I thought he had a really good year last year. Kevin Givens, I think, is a guy that he had to really kind of be lights out at the combine probably to get drafted. I don't know if he was able to get that. I was happy to see that a lot of people after the combine were talking about Ryan Bates, because I think Connor McGovern is clearly the guy that's going to go of the offensive lineman's going to go first. And I think there's some conversation whether Ryan even was going to get drafted, and that would have not been a good look because he came out early, but I think he did pretty well. So those were the guys. I was looking at Bates, and I was looking at Sharif, and I was looking at Kevin Givens. And I was really, really happy, that Miles Sanders did what he did, because, you know, it's not easy being the caddy for Saquon Barkley, knowing that pretty much any other school in the country, he would have started or been in a timeshare.
Well, I was rooting very hard for Miles Sanders because I think he's been very underappreciated and underrated.
He's been a good soldier at Penn State, too. You never heard him complain. He did whatever James asked him. They burned his red shirt when they probably didn't need to as a true freshman. But it was all worthwhile for him in 2018. He was clearly one of the best backs in the Big Ten.
And I think as a running back, there's something to be said for not having much wear on the treads.
He may end up thanking Penn State, much like Barkley may end up thanking Penn State for not overworking him.
Exactly. And there was one other thing, and I don't think we talk about it enough here. We talk about these kids as recruits when they come out of high school, and we watch a tape and we react or even overreact to it. But I remember Miles Sanders, I think it was the Big 33 game, was the first I watched him, and he made this tremendous catch in the back of the end zone. Okay, it was one catch I saw of him in high school, and I said, this guy could catch the ball out of the backfield. And what I watched the combine was him catching passes.
Right.
He just looked so good doing it and so smooth.
Imagine if Penn State had thrown him the ball.
Huh. Well,
considering how many drops the receivers had.
I got a feeling that'll be a topic at some point during the summer. Another topic that came up, and it's interesting because we touched on it just a little bit last week, the idea of Trace McSorley playing another position.
Yeah, I want to get Ross in here pretty soon.
Trust me, that topic will come up. But Trace McSorley was asked to work out with the defensive backs.
Yeah.
And said no. Good decision by him?
Well, I mean, I think eventually he might have a different look at it. But right now, I don't blame him for thinking of himself as a quarterback. But as they get closer to the draft and the feelers go out and he hears from teams, I mean, Trace wants to be a football player. I consider Trace to be a football player as well as a quarterback, and I thought he played the position a little bit differently than a lot of quarterbacks did. You know, there's been some quarterbacks that wanted to be quarterbacks that probably would have helped themselves if they had been viewed as different position players. Terrell Pryor comes to mind. Tim Tebow's another one.
That's where I was headed.
I feel like eventually Trace might find himself in a position where teams are looking at him as an athlete not just a quarterback, and he has to decide, do you want to be drafted maybe, or do you want to go maybe in the last couple of rounds just as a quarterback? But I think whoever drafts him is probably looking at him as a quarterback and maybe something a little bit extra, because that's how you make a team, I think, you know, especially when you're not considered maybe an elite NFL quarterback prospect.
As a quarterback, don't you have to have that swagger to lead that you – no, I'm not. What are you kidding me? I'm not a defensive back. I'm a quarterback. Yeah. I'm the leader of this team. If you don't have that, you're not going to make it. Holding that chip down the line.
And at the same time, I think if he ask him after he gets drafted, look, we also want to know if you can help us in a couple other ways, I think he would absolutely do it.
Bob, I think you're old enough to remember Joe Theismann. How did he get on the field?
Oh, wait. Was he a punt returner?
Yeah.
He was a punt returner. And it was Theismann, I think, at one point.
No, it rhymed Heisman. Theismann as in Heisman. And Kevin, I just want to – you brought up Tim Tebow. Just as a correction, he did eventually change positions. He's now playing left field.
Oh, for your beloved franchise.
for my beloved Mets, boy. And I'll tell you what, I've watched him play a couple times out in left field. As a left fielder, he looks like a really good football player.
I was going to say.
A couple things to clean up coming up. Spring practice is going to be starting on March 14th. If they get 15 practices, is that correct, Bob?
I believe that is correct. It's a short turnaround to the blue-white game, which is about as early as I can remember it.
It's April 13th, which I think is about a week earlier than it normally is. One other thing that's coming up in the spring, this is the second year where players could take official visits starting on April 1st. Now, I know anything that's a change, coaches usually just say, we don't like it. Why? Because it's change.
Right.
But how do you think this affects the program? Will Penn State be able to take advantage of that?
I'm sure that they will. I'm sure James has planned for this. I don't think James really likes a lot of changes. I think he likes things the way they are in the recruiting world because he's doing so well. But it's just one of those things that, you know, I don't know if he was necessarily in favor of the early signing period before it came to fruition, but you see how Penn State's handled that. They've had two just tremendous classes, and I think that people are very hesitant with change until they can actually see how the first one goes and they kind of just plan around. I'm very sure that James will find a way to make that work, and I'm sure it'll be fine.
And if I were James, just his ability to prepare for things, I would think change is good for him because he'll be better prepared than the next guy.
He's better than most at anticipating things, absolutely.
Exactly. So look for him to take advantage of it. Anyway, that is it for quarter number one of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stick around in quarter number two. Ross is going to talk about a couple new 2020 commits.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.